So then you decided to run for elective office.
Yes.
What office did you run for?
I was first approached to run for mayor. A good friend of mine, Mary Dunn, who's very active in our local Republican politics and was married to an old family friend of ours, the Dunn family, she approached me about running for mayor. Well, I didn't know one thing about city government at that time. Very little awareness of what issues were and all that. I knew that Jim Maxwell had been the mayor for several years before then and was very well liked as a mayor. So I finally told her, I said, I just don't know enough about that I want to get in a campaign about it. So they said, well, you're an engineer. Why don't you run for the Commissioner of Streets and Public Property? That's an engineering job. They're over public buildings. They're over the building codes. They're over all the construction of new roads and things. That seemed to be more amenable to me, so that's what I did.
That would have been in 1964.
64.
One of the big projects you worked on was the building of the Port of Catoosa.
Yes. I was elected in 64. Right away, we began to put together some building projects. You have to remember the interstate highway system was coming on. It had already been somewhat funded in Tulsa. The Broken Arrow Expressway was in completion when I went into office in 64. In 1965, the city had a bond issue for not only streets, but also for the Port of Catoosa. We approved $20 million from Tulsa for the port. I think Rogers County put up $1 million. Of that $20 million, several million was reserved for purchasing the land at the port. That job was assigned to my office, to the street commissioner's office. We had a very limited budget, I think like $1 million or a little more. We were supposed to buy 2,200 acres out there in what they call then Rascal Flats. We hired a small staff to work for the city under my office. We acquired all that acreage over a period of about a year, year and a half. That became the Port of Catoosa.
Was it in 63 or so when the McClellan Kerr Arkansas navigation system was beginning to be developed?
Yes, it was probably in construction in the mid-60s. It was finished, obviously, in 1971. I was in the mayor's office by then. But all during the late 60s, while I was a commissioner, these construction projects were going forward. I had an active role with the Arkansas Basin Development Association. I later chaired that for a couple of years. We were involved in all the lobbying for funding of the navigation channel. Every year you had to keep that funding stream up through the Congress.
It almost sounds easy here having you talk about it now, but there had to have been detractors and resistors, an international shipping port in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Well, that was a strange thing for most people to understand that we could ever do that in the middle of the state. But as far as detractors, there were very few, very few. And frankly, I'm glad we got the port built when we did, because we'd have probably never built it today with all the environmental questions that would be asked.
Did you interact much then with Senator Robert Kerr, Senator John McClellan?
Not personally, I didn't. Most of their work had been done earlier in the 60s, as far as getting the funding mechanisms begun. We did rely on Tom Steed and Paige Belcher and Mike Monroney. He was very instrumental in helping get the funding through the Senate, especially after Bob Kerr died, which I think was in 63. We had very good support from all of our delegation, though, for the funding.
That had to be like it was meant to be, because then you become mayor. As the port is opened and dedicated, you're the mayor of Tulsa, and you put so much work into that. President Nixon was here for the opening of the port.
We had the opening of the port in 1971. Another interesting story about that. Prior to the formal dedication of the port, there was a little trip put together by some Chamber of Commerce people here. Ralph Lafferty, who ran ZEBCO here, or Early Cass and Mark Tower and several others' names I can't pick up immediately. We planned a trip down the navigation channel in January of 1971. All of the locks and dams had been completed. So we put together three little outboard motor boats, 18 feet in length or so. We started out on like a 15-degree morning. There was ice on the river out there, I remember. We'd break the ice as we started down toward Inola, the first lock and dam. And we took a three-day trip from Tulsa, stopping at Fort Smith the first night, Little Rock the second night. The third night, we were on the Mississippi and down the Mississippi at Greenville. We were met at each of these places by their chambers of commerce and their river enthusiasts and all that. It was a very exciting trip. There's a lot of memories for me today.
And those weren't big boats, 18-foot boats.
They're just little tiny boats. You get in these great big locks and dams, the walls of those things go up 20 feet above you, you know. Here they are opening these huge gates to let these little tiny boats go down the river.
Did you have any weather problems along the way?
No, we had good weather, fortunately.
Also, as mayor, you played a big role in our freeway system. Talk about some of the early decisions on that.
Well, of course, the job I had as a street commissioner had been done very well previous to me by Guy Hall in the city, Frank O'Brien in the county. They had already gotten some funding for various right-of-way acquisition projects on the interstate system, and also they had found money through various bond issues to acquire land for what they call the urban expressways, which didn't have interstate designation, but which required more local funding in order to acquire the right-of-way. Frankly, when I came in office, there had just been an earlier bond issue at the county level that had funded things like the Crosstown and the Keystone and done some really important advanced work on getting the system built. But when I came in office, you'll have to remember the Broken Arrow was being completed, but the Keystone was not built, Crosstown was not built, the Cherokee going north was not built. We still had the Riverside Expressway as a future project for our expressway system, but we knew that there were going to be neighborhood difficulties with that. That was kind of a whole new chapter, really, in my association with the expressway system, because the Maple Ridge neighborhood formed a group against building that system down the Midland Valley tracks onto Riverside Drive at 30th Street, and then down the riverbank to 51st Street. And of course, that became an issue of great controversy during my street commissioner days. Lawsuits were filed against that. Eventually, those lawsuits resulted in the Riverside Expressway being deleted from our system. Betsy Horowitz led the charge from the Maple Ridge group. She personally ran against me in my mayor's race at least twice. We had some heated discussions about expressways and what the effects were in Tulsa. And I can say today, without reservation, that it was fortunate that that got deleted from our system. I think it had no business being programmed in there to begin with and would have taken away all of the potential for river development that we're seeing happening today, even though it's 50 years later.
Even though you were a strong proponent then of that expressway.
Yes, because I felt that that was my responsibility to carry out the plan, the highway plan that had been really approved in these earlier bond issues, so to speak, when people voted the various rights away.
Did all street bond issues get passed during your time?
No, I actually lost one in 69 when I was mayor. I think that was the only one.
But they must have come back and approved it as building continued on the streets.
I think most of the expressway items had already been approved through the 65 issues, as I recall. But we ran into difficulties when I was mayor in the latter couple of years of my term. You have to remember this is the late 70s. There were some hard times in the oil business. In the middle 70s, we had the embargoes and things like that that were very difficult in our economy. It wasn't just all, you know, smelling the roses. It was a difficult time to get any public funding for things. I want to mention one other thing with regard to expressways, because one of the key projects in all of our expressway system was what we call the Southeast Interchange. That doesn't mean anything to people today, but it completes the loop of expressways around the Central Business District. We did not have that designated on the interstate system when I came in office as a street commissioner. So we were always faced with having to buy the right-of-way ourselves as a city for that whole complex. As it came along, we just found that it was not probably going to be possible with the tenor of public acceptance of street bond issues to put together enough to do that. We decided that we would try and get the Southeast Interchange on the interstate system so that the right-of-way could be 10% local, 90% federal, and the construction the same way. Otherwise, it was going to be 50% local, 50% federal. Right-of-way is one thing, but the construction, we would never have been able to put that up locally. So with the help of Dewey Bartlett, who was then in the U.S. Senate, he was a friend of Secretary of Transportation Volpe. So he arranged for them to look at this as an interstate project, and we had a very important meeting in Washington with the Secretary and Senator Bartlett about this designation. And we gained the favor of the Department of Transportation to change the designation of that Southeast Interchange. So even though we had lost the other interchange through the Riverside Expressway condemnation, we gained the Southeast Interchange, which gave us our connection to the Broken Arrow and completed the loop around the Central Business District. So that was a very, very, very key element in our overall transportation plan.
Mm-hmm.